Hallelujah. Thank you. Tonight we're going to 1 John chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, 1 John chapter 4. Before I get into tonight, I've got to confess or repent, a repentant confession. The other week I talked about going to the dentist and how he gave me this filling in my tooth without any medication or whatever. And I don't know if I was in the state of bragging or boasting. Hello? But last week, I got this nerve pain in my jaw, all right? And one thing about nerve pain, there's no soothing nerve pain, all right? So this afternoon, I had to get a root canal over here. And I'm thankful for the medication that he gave me and for numbing it for the root canal. I wasn't big enough or bold enough to do that without medication. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the numbing is wearing off, so if I slobber on you, I don't mean to. Normally I slobber anyway, rather it's on this day or after having a shot or not, right? Hallelujah. But tonight we want to continue our study on the Holy Spirit being our helper. And our text tonight is found in 1 John chapter 4. And I want to begin to read at verse number 7. Because one of the things the Father really keeps speaking to me about, and he wants to speak to us about, is we cannot love like he loves. But we can allow his love to flow through us to others. Amen. In other words, when it's just about my love, most of the time it's going to come short, because rather I say it or not, my love comes with conditions. Hello? God's love is unconditional. So when we're looking at this tonight, in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, that not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the atonement for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man have seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he have given us of his Spirit." Now, I have heard a lot of people saying that they stood and met God, but God says nobody's seen God at any time. Amen? So that's what his word says. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be caught up like John, the Apostle John, caught up in a heavenly vision to go in the throne of God. But to say that I actually stood before God, he says no man has done that. I don't know. I think God's a consuming fire. I don't think I can handle his brilliance in this body. Amen? But tonight we want to look at, first we want to look at to possess this. I wanted to direct you to Ezekiel 36 and the prophecy of Ezekiel in Ezekiel 36. Many people have seen Jesus and lived. Amen. So I'm not saying that you can't have a revelation and meet Jesus. Amen. The word of God says this. He says in verse 26, he says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Amen. The prophet Ezekiel was prophesying about Christ, or the Spirit of God, living in you and I. Remember, he says we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Things can't become new until we let the old go away. Amen. The problem many times with the body of Christ is we try to keep the old man and build the new on top of the old. Amen. But Jesus says, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. In other words, this calls for us to die to self, to be resurrected in Christ Jesus. So with this in mind, he calls for us to discern what Jesus says in John 14. John 14. We're speaking about love. Jesus put it like this in verse 15. John 14, 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful for the helper. I'm so grateful for the comforter. I'm so grateful that he helps me and helps you to be everything God's called us to be. Amen. Amen. No matter what the devil brought in, I serve a God that's greater. Remember, the devil was a created being, okay? God was from the beginning. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. I believe so many times we give the adversary too much space. We give him too much credit.
That's right.
Amen.
Exactly right.
Amen. I believe it's time that as the children of God get a revelation of understanding who they are in Christ Jesus, and whatever God called you to do, you could do through the strength that he gives you. And you have to have that mentality. Amen. It's not, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. It's, I know I can, I know I can, I know I can.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're not thinking we can. We know we can, because God says, I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength.
That's right.
So that's a know I can mentality, not a think I can.
That's right.
Amen. So we're looking at to decide in 1 John chapter 2. The beloved writes this. In verse 27, the beloved says, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. You know, here's one of the things that God wants to get in our hearts. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you. Jesus and God wouldn't be telling us all these things if we weren't to apply them to our life. Well, God says, well, I just wanted to tell you a whole lot of stuff. None of it matters, but I just wanted to tell you anyway. I don't serve a God that just wants to tell me something that I don't need. My God shall supply for all of my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So I'm looking at this, that if this word is to benefit me. He says in verse 28, and now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Then he says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Now, wait a minute. He didn't say everyone that's righteous is just the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Many think just because they gave their heart to Jesus, I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and I could do whatever I want to do because I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But God said this, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness. Not everyone that is righteous because of Christ, but everyone that does righteousness is born of him. In other words, if old things have not passed away, you better go back to the altar.
Amen.
Amen. So the Bible says, behold, all things, old things that pass away, behold, all things have become new. Amen. You know, it's like this. God gave us a do-over.
That's right.
Amen. Now, if we mess it up the first time, why do we want to continue to do what we messed up to begin with? Amen. I thank God because when I gave my heart to Jesus and I made him Lord of my life, he removed my sins as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Then he gave me the path to go on. Now, when I sin, it becomes iniquity. My iniquities are pardoned or are covered, but they're not truly forgiven. They're not just wiped away like my sins were. I'll stand before the white throne judgment of God, and I'll give an account for what I did with what he entrusted me with. Amen. You know, one of the things that he constantly reminds me is sometimes I say, man, Lord, I just want to tell them this, and I want to tell them this, and I want to motivate them, and I want to encourage them, and I want to tell them. And he said, yeah, I want you to do that, son. But if you don't tell them the other side of the story, you're not helping them.
Amen. Tell, preach it.
Hello? Amen. And in other words, I don't only have to give an account what I do. I've got to give an account for what I tell you. Amen. And I want to make sure that I study to show myself approved, the workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. I don't want to lead anybody in the wrong path. Amen. We're leading in the paths of righteousness for Christ's sake. So first then, we looked at to possess. Secondly is to perfect us. To perfect. I'm looking at first the giver in Matthew 19. I'm going to start reading verse number 20. A young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from thy youth and backward. Let's start with verse number 18. Thou shalt do no murder. This is Jesus speaking in the New Testament. This isn't the Old Testament. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. And thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. In other words, Jesus is reflecting upon the Ten Commandments. It wasn't abolished in Christ Jesus. He's the fulfillment of it. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from a youth upward. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, talk about perfect love, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And then Jesus saith unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? And when Jesus beheld them, he said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Jesus wasn't saying there was something wrong with the money. Jesus wasn't saying there was something wrong with the possessions, but it's where the man's heart was. He had the love of money, and the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, while some have coveted after, they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Amen. So when we're looking at this, Jesus was said, man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart, and he saw what was first place in his life. Jesus says to you and I in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
Amen. So we're looking at the giver. to generate in Colossians chapter 3. Are y'all with me tonight?
Yes, sir.
The Apostle Paul says to the church of Colossians in verse 14, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called into one body, and be ye thankful." Amen? In other words, we're to bless one another. That's the bond. That's how we're being perfected, by loving one another, by forgiving one another, by honoring one another. Amen? By saying what we mean and meaning what we say. If we say we're going to do something, we do it. We say, tell our brother we're going to do something, we don't do it, to us it becomes sin. And it has an effect. So it calls for us to guard in James chapter 3. To guard our mouths. James 3:2 says this, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, is able also to bridle the whole body." And in other words, the Lord says if we learn to control our mouth, we'll be able to learn to control every other organ in our body, and every place, we'll control our legs, our hands, our actions, you know, because out of life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof. Amen. So he's calling for us here to also to purpose. Purpose to understand. To understand. I was kind of like complaining with the Lord. Lord, why did I get this thing? And it was almost like, why not? You live in a sinful world. Amen? Amen? How are you going to react with what happened? What happened? There was a confession about the other week boasting. And the Bible says, pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. In other words, the Lord said, be careful. Don't get arrogant on us. In Colossians 2:2, the Word of God says, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, into all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God in the Father and of Christ, and whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Amen. In other words, let's follow the Word of God. Amen. Amen. We'll never go wrong. Amen. If we stick to the Word. So, to undergo. Well, here's a mentality in the world today, and also in the body of Christ. I have to go here. This was meant for this age. This was meant for them. This was meant for them. No, God is Genesis through Revelations and everything in between, and it was all meant for all of us.
That's right.
Amen? Amen? So we have to have the full word, the full knowledge of God. So he says also, so we can undergo in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says this to the church of Thessalonica in verse number 5. He said, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." Amen. Receiving the word in much affliction. How many are going through something? God has every answer, so I'm going to keep pressing in. Amen? I'm going to keep pressing in. You know, every time I press in, I always face some adversity, but what he says is keep pressing in. Amen? Keep pressing in. Look at the ones next to you and say, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. He isn't done yet. You're only in the middle stage. So don't have a midlife crisis. Hallelujah. To undertake in Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 22. The word of God says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast our profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So the last thing we're going to look at is to produce. And Romans chapter 8. I love Romans 8. The Apostle Paul reminds you and I in verse number 14. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit of itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Look at the one next to you and say, that suffering is just about over. Hallelujah. So we find that tonight he says, hereby know we dwell in him, and he in us, because he's given us the Spirit to possess. He gives us the direction to discern, for us to decide, to perfect us, recognizing we're to be the giver that generates a heart to be on guard, to purpose, to understand. What we understand, we undergo. What we undergo, we undertake. And then we there to produce. We're always producing good fruit. Amen. We're good fruit. Can we all just stand if you get a chance? And let's just pray and thank the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord that I was able to speak. A little earlier when I was numb and slobber was run down my face, I didn't know if it was going to work or not. But God is faithful. Amen? Can we lift our hands to heaven and just give God some praise? Father, I thank you for every man, woman, and child in this room. I thank you for the plans and purposes that you have for each and every one. You see everything that each family member and loved one is facing, Father God. May they have revelation and understanding that they never face anything alone. That you're always there. You're just as close as the call of your name. We're grateful, Father God, that you give us guidance. You give us direction, Father God, that you've given us the Spirit to quicken us, Father God. So, Lord, I pray, Father God, that the Spirit of God just rise up in each and every one of us to give us wisdom and guidance in the steps we're to take and the steps we're not to take. The things we're to say, the things we're not to say. The actions we're to take, the actions we're not to take. And Father, I pray, Father God, for the peace of God that surmounts every bit of understanding to guard their hearts and their minds through Christ Jesus. Now, Father God, I thank you, Father God, that the Spirit of Christ is in everyone that's in this room. And when we say, Christ arise, the enemy be scattered, the enemy is scattered when we express love. Love will cover a multitude of sins. So may your love flow through us supernaturally to others, and we'll never cease to give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.